Well, good morning, church. It is good to see everybody here. And as Ryland just said, this is our Brenda and I's last Sunday with you. And in many ways, it's hard to believe that, my goodness, just what started out as I really thought I was coming up here to fill in for what Charlie Cruz said, the director of missions for the Tulsa Metro Baptist Network. He called me and said, hey, I need to see if you can go up to a church in Owosso. He said, I'm actually scheduled to speak up there, but some things have come up in my own life, my own family I have to attend to and need to deal with that. So can you fill in? And I said, sure, I'd be glad to. And to think that that led to a year and a half later, I never would have thought that, but let me just say on behalf of Brenda and myself that we, what a joy and what a privilege and what an honor it has been to serve you and to be alongside of you and to lift up the name of Christ and worship and just to be able to share with you the times that we have shared, both in times of considering God's word, but also in relationship. And so from the bottom of our hearts, God bless you and thank you. Many of you have said, oh, Pastor Brian, we believe God brought you and Brenda here exactly when you we needed you to be here. And I say simply back, it was the same for us with you to us. It was God's timing for us as well. But I do have to tell you, and I have to confess, I got to come clean before I start this because, I just want to be very transparent. You know, in light of everything that's going on in our world and just stuff, I've kind of helped myself to a parting gift from you all. And so I'm taking home maybe I've earned this, I don't know. But again, in light of our world today, so sweetheart, if you'd hang on to that and Don't let anybody get that. So thanks for that parting gift. Anyway, well, I'm going to actually share with us from several different areas of Scripture today, but we begin in 1 Peter chapter 5. It's really, quite frankly, church, it is a charge to those that would be considered leaders, shepherds, elders, overseers in the church. But I think it's also a reminder of things that ultimately, again, in light of everything that is going on, to be reminded that none of this escapes our God and that He is in control and He is in charge of everything. But God does give under-shepherds and He gives elders and leaders and people, shepherds in the church, overseers, to as representatives of His kingdom, to watch over and guard and protect and lead and love His flock and to do that all by example of those leaders. And I know that no doubt Central Baptist Church, you all are excited and we are excited for you in the calling of Dr. Clayton Chisholm, and he and his family will be here soon, and 2 weeks from today, he will share his very inaugural first message as pastor, if you will, with you, and I know that you anticipate that. But I share with us this morning these first four verses in 1 Peter chapter 5, those things that speak of those who watch over the people of God, God's flock. It says in verse 1, to the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder and as a witness of Christ's sufferings, who also will share in the glory that is to be revealed, to be shepherds of God's flock, those that are under your care, watching over them, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. In considering those verses this morning, that which certainly got my attention was those that are called, those that are to be shepherds of God's flock, not under any type of compulsion, but a desire to do so, a calling upon their life, and to carry that out in a number of ways. The scripture says being an example, and certainly not doing that out of a compulsion, but a willing heart, to guard their heart from certain things as they do so. I would remind the Central family this morning that as you consider these words and the scripture and the truth and the power of these words, that there's a number of ways that that happens in those under-shepherds, those elders, those leaders, those overseers that God puts in place over and in your life. Half part of that is and begins with the teaching of God's Word. I would add this, that that should mean and can mean and does mean teachings and preachings that include both the Old Testament and the New Testament. That there would be warnings of dangers. No doubt in Jesus' time and in the time of the Apostle Paul, oftentimes those words and those warnings were of false teachers. But that under-shepherd constantly and consistently and with great clarity faithfully feeds the flock of God by the Word of God. And does it with such grace and humility, never to drive the sheep, but to go in and out before the sheep, to lead with humility and care and concern, to go after those and to seek out the lost and those that are wounded and in need of being bound up and carried, that shepherd would do that very thing, watching over the sheep. Again, by keeping a watch over his own heart and his own life. And certainly there are great examples, those that watch over and guard and protect. People can do that and do that in a variety of ways, in a number of ways, just in the goodness that you can find, even natural goodness, natural acts. But how many of us know that the natural acts that we do are just those things that are temporal, they're temporary. But when God is in a person's life and that person is walking by faith, walking by trust in the Lord, as we just sang a moment ago, I will put my trust in you and I will not be shaken, regardless of what is taking place, that person has this assurance and this trust and this power in their life. And so God places these under-shepherds, these overseers, these leaders in people's lives to help them along the way, as I've shared in the past several weeks. But there are good examples and great testimonies of those things. There was a great story that I heard a few weeks ago. I was trying really to remember if I'd even heard about it at that time. It goes all the way back to 9/11. There was certainly some concern in all of the actions and all of the activities and all the events that surrounded 9/11. And there at the Pentagon, there was this concern because there was a child care situation there at the Pentagon for the government employees and civilian employees there at the Pentagon. And there was a great number of children, both babies and infants as well as toddlers. And the director of that child care was trying to figure out, what are we going to do? We need to evacuate these children. We need to get them out of here. What are we going to do and how are we going to go about that? And about this time, a young Marine came in and simply asked, what is the need that you have? And I don't know if you've heard this story before. What I heard from was that told by a chaplain. And hopefully I haven't told this story to you before. But if I have, you're getting to hear it again. But it was such a good one as I considered that God is our ultimate shepherd. God is the one who watches over our lives. But again, there's great stories and great testimonies of good things that, that people do. And so this young Marine comes in and says, what do you need? And the director said, this is what we need to do, but we don't know how we're going to do it. And about that time, that Marine bursted out of that room and left. And that child care director just went, well, I don't know what we're going to do. I guess we're on our own. And so she's still trying to formulate and come up with a plan. About that time, that young guy comes back and he has 40 other Marines with him. And immediately they begin to pick up these heavy-duty cribs and they grab the infants and the babies and they carry those things. And those that had all of those and were dealing with that, the other Marines grabbed up and herded those toddlers and out the doors they went. And there was a park about 3/4 of a mile down from the Pentagon that was right along the Potomac River. And once they got there, an amazing thing happened. Just like kind of a scene out of a Western movie, you know, the Old West, when they would circle the wagons, those Marines took those heavy, very sturdy baby beds and they put them in a circle. And they began to put the babies inside there, the infants inside there. And then inside that circle, they herded the toddlers in there so that there was a perimeter there and they couldn't wander off. And then those Marines surrounded that whole thing and stood there waiting for their next move and orders on what they should do. And they stayed there until those parents could be contacted to tell them where their children were. What a great story of watch care and protection over a very, I might add, special little flock in the eyes of God. I share that story, church, because just like overseers and managers and elders and under-shepherds that God calls and puts into place, we must remember one thing, that God is our ultimate leader. God is our ultimate shepherd. God is our ultimate overseer. God is the one who protects us and leads us and guides our lives. He is completely faithful. We can build our life on Him because there is no other greater, firmer foundation than the Lord God Almighty Himself. And so we have those examples consistently and constantly, things that people can do. But we remember this, church, that secondly, God is our ultimate leader, and He places people to help us and to watch over us and to protect us and lead us and guide us in the ways of the Lord. But part of the calling on that elder or that leader or that under-shepherd is to ensure that the flock is built up, to ensure that the flock is cared for, to ensure that the flock has that godly example before them, so that as they begin running that race of faith, that they run well and that they finish well and they complete that journey. The scripture tells us in the Gospel of John, chapter 17, beginning in verse 10, it says, these words of Jesus praying for His disciples, Father, all I have is yours and all you have is mine. And all glory has come to me through them. And I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in this world and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them. Protect them by the power of your name, the name that you gave me so that they may be one as we are one. For while I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by the name that you gave me. For none has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so that Scripture would be fulfilled. And then also in the same Gospel of John, in chapter 6, verse 39, this is the will of Him who sent me, that I shall lose none of these. I shall lose none, and those that He has given me, I will raise them up on the last day. You know, church, in these last days, no doubt it has been an interesting week this past week. But none of this has caught certainly the Lord by surprise. these events and all of the things that we have encountered in this world has resulted in concern and anxiety. People are in awe, some in terror and in fear. And I loved what Noah shared the scripture about. We don't have a spirit of fear. We take all of our anxiousness, all of the things that might worry us, we take that to a great and loving and compassionate Father who cares for us. So whatever the financial things that might be taking place, whatever the stock exchange is doing, whatever our 401ks are doing, whatever viruses may come our way, some have been introduced to the word pandemic. I had to look that up. I was like, well, all I know is I don't know exactly what it is, but it doesn't sound good. Whatever may come our way, God is our protector. God will ensure through those that He has called into our lives and placed into our lives, those that will help us finish well. There was another, I don't know, they might have thought it was the last day or the last days. It's often referred to in the time of the American Revolution as the dark day. It was a day in May of 1780. There was an unusual physical darkness that was going across the land. When it shouldn't be dark in the middle of the day, it was dark. There was just an ominous tone and feel in the environment and the atmosphere. It was just a very, very strange time. And people were thinking, and actually some were declaring, these are the last days. This is God's judgment that is coming upon us. We have wallowed in our sin and we've not paid attention to our God and we've turned our backs to our God. And now this is His judgment. The beginning of the last days has come. And history tells us, as those that were meeting in what is called they were meeting in Connecticut, members of the legislature, it was called the State Council. There were some that feared the dark day did signify a day of judgment. And there was a member in that session that stood at that time and made a motion on the floor to adjourn. In his motion, he said things like, hey, look what's happening. There is darkness. There is judgment that is coming. These are the last days. We have things to attend to, things to take care of. We must go to our families. We should adjourn what we are doing here and move from this place. And then there was one gentleman by the name of Abraham Davenport, who some would say has earned lasting fame for his response. After that fellow gentleman put forth his motion, he stood and asked to speak. And these are the words that he said. I, for one, am against adjournment. For the day of judgment is indeed either approaching or it is not. But if it is not, then there is no cause for adjournment. And if it is, I choose to be found doing my duty. I wish, therefore, let us bring candles into this place and let us be about our business. I would say, church, in light of everything that is going on in our world, I think we should be about our business. I don't think we should live in fear. No doubt there will be concern and there will be maybe some anxiety. But as the scripture tells us, let us take those things to the Lord and let us ask Him to give us courage. Where we need wisdom and boldness, let us ask for that and with faith expect God to give us that very thing that we need for this hour and the hours to come. You believe by faith, Central Baptist Church, do you not? You believe that God has called and is leading Dr. Clayton Chisholm to this community and this family to be your under-shepherd. And once again, it is my, with great humility, I was so excited to be a part of your history for a year and a half. But know this, that God is our leader himself. God is our protector. God is the one that we build our lives upon. We teach our children. We love our children. We guide our children in the ways that we find in the scriptures. And as we do that, we'll give glory to God. When we go to our places of work, if we're not told to stay home and work from home, when children are allowed to go back to school and walk their hallways, they will love their friends in Jesus' name. We will continue on in that which God leads us and calls us to do. Also, church, I would say simply this, that over the last several weeks in this series on the calling, certainly God places a calling upon those that are to be elders, overseers, leaders of his flock, not leading and doing that out of compulsion, but out of kindness and mercy, out of example, out of wisdom, out of guarding their own heart, and doing all that to give glory to God, to watch over the flock of God. That I've said this, that God uses those people and staff members and Sunday school teachers and others alike to help lead a person to the fullest possible relationship with the Lord, walking in obedience to his will, to experience the fullness of God. In approaching this Sunday, I came across this prayer that just seemed, in fact, when I read those words, I knew immediately in my heart. I said, Lord, thank you very much, because I know that that's what I want to share as my prayer, your word, the same words that we have recorded that the Apostle Paul prayed for the believers at the church in Ephesus. Central Baptist Church, this is my prayer for you as you move forward by God's grace and in Jesus' name. It's found in Ephesians chapter 3, and it begins in verse 14. I pray by the power of the Spirit that you would sense the power and the truth and the firmness of the foundation that these words can have in a life and for a body of believers. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven on earth derives its name. And I pray that out of his glorious riches, that he would strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how long and how high and how deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all of the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all that we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. And may the church together say, amen. Central Baptist Church, there's no way I could have said it any better. That is my prayer for you, that as your under shepherd comes and leads and guides and directs, certainly not out of compulsion, but out of the calling of God upon his life and with great willingness, that he will watch over you by God's grace and with God's mercy, that your power is from him, your strength is from him, that you as individuals and as the Central Baptist Church family, you will grow in maturity that is from him, and that you will be totally dominated by his love. And I might add from our time of worship together that you would become overcome by the presence of the living God. The fullness of Christ and of His Holy Spirit and all of that church would result in the glory of God as He continues to work in your lives, both individually and collectively. That you would grow in maturity of the faith, that you would grow in corporate love, not only corporately in your love for one another, but corporately for this community and surrounding areas. That you would grow in personal holiness. And church, do not miss this. In a day and time when it seems that oftentimes in the dividing of the Holy Scriptures, there seems to be a teaching of doctrine that does simply not add up. And if it's not adding up, it's being left out. My prayer for you, Central Baptist Church, is that as your under-shepherd continues to feed you as the flock of God, that you would absolutely believe, and not only believe, but that you would walk in sound doctrine, resulting in a testimony. And don't get me wrong, it's not a testimony that you already don't have, because I can tell you this, and I know I speak for my wife as well, this church from day one, when we walked in here, you have loved us, accepted us, been gracious to us time and time again. And for that, we are thankful. But all of that, church, will result in a testimony, a continual testimony in this community of purity and of attractiveness to those who are outside of the body of Christ, those who are outside of the family of God, those who would be called unbelievers because of your corporate love, your commitment to personal holiness, and your belief in sound doctrine, and that you desire to grow deeper in your walk with God. The prosperity of Central Baptist Church will be because she is kingdom-focused and not inner-focused, that you will walk by faith as you continue on in living out the obedience and will of God in your lives and for this church. We will be praying that for you. This morning, Brenda and I were at the table, as we do on Sunday mornings before we make our way up here. And I'll close with this story. She was sitting there with her iPad, and she was doing some things before we would head this way. And she was actually looking. We've had a lot of company these last several days in our home. And so we've been doing a lot of meal preparation and those kinds of things. And so she was looking at some things we will be celebrating this afternoon, and meals and all of that. And she was on her iPad, and she was heading for a certain recipe that she needed to remind herself of what's involved and what's there and what she's got to put in it. And she was doing this. It's, I don't know, is that right, ladies? You're going up or down or something, swiping right or left, I don't know, but she was doing that with some consternation in her voice. She said, "You wouldn't believe how many ads I've got to go to just to get to this recipe." I guess she finally got there. As I thought about that statement, I thought about this. Church, think about how many things we go through in life as we look forward to one day going home. We go through a lot of things. Coronaviruses, and this and that, and all kinds of stuff. I heard somebody say, "Yeah, boy, 2020's been a rough start to this year." But you know what? God, in His goodness and His mercy and His grace, He sends us people. He gives us people. Folks that may come into our lives for a short time, I believe, church, absolutely, for the last year and a half, what a blessing you have been to Brenda and I. And at least to some of you, you tell us we've been a blessing to you. But now Dr. Chisholm and his family come, and in God's goodness and His grace, He sends people, he gives us people, he leads people, all to remind us that there was no one that cares about us like our God. He protects us. He watches over us. He cares for us. And he never, ever stops loving us. So once again, church, I'll close with this verse from Ephesians chapter 3 again, but just verse 19. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you, Central Baptist Church, that you may be filled to the measure of all of the fullness of God. Amen and amen. Let's pray. Lord, whatever any of us, as individuals, in our families, whatever we may be going through, even as a church, God, you are our leader. And thank you for the elders and the overseers, the under-shepherds that you send our way to watch over us and care for us. And they always point us and remind us of you, God, the one true God. Lord, you are so faithful. You are so good. You never hold back your grace. You continue to pour out your mercy. Lord, I pray that this local body will live out the fullness of you in their lives and as a church. Lord God, give Dr. Chisholm wisdom, and may he be a shining example of your grace and mercy being worked out in his own life to these dear and precious, sweet people, your flock that is called Central Baptist Church. I ask this in Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Central, can we say thank you to Brian?